IPE@WU Analysis, the podcast by students of the Institute for International Political Economy.
Hi everybody and welcome to our podcast. My name is Anna and I hope you enjoyed the intro music because the jazz will continue throughout this entire episode. So if you don't like jazz, then let's hope today's topic will make up for it. If you've ever asked yourself the question of why the Spanish general elections of 2011 and 2023 differ so much regarding the political business cycle, then today's your lucky day. And if not, which would be incredibly surprising, then let's hope that we can awaken your interest a bit today. I am joined here by two absolute experts in this field, Clemens and Alex, who both study socioeconomics and are probably the smartest people I know. Before we get started with our two explanations, let me try to shortly explain what the political business cycle is and what question we're asking ourselves today. By the way, I also study socioeconomics, so on paper, I should also know what I'm talking about. So when we talk about the phrase political business cycle, we typically mean that before an election, the incumbent party stimulates the economy in order to improve their chances for the coming elections. And just like most theories, this doesn't always apply. So we want to ask the question of why did it apply in Spain in 2023, but not in 2011? Why is this relevant, you might ask? Well, if you live in a democratic country that has elections, it's probably not bad to know a bit about what, let's call it, tactics, to be as PC as possible, are applied by political actors to ensure the re-election. So let's do the following. Let's look at 2011, so the year that it didn't work, first. And Clemens, please start with your explanation using economic crises. And then Alex can take over with his explanation using the prime minister. And for the rest of you guys, grab a coffee and a snack and enjoy.
Thank you for the invitation to this podcast. One of the major reasons that the political business cycle won't work in the incumbent's favor is an economic crisis before an election. Given the severity of the economic situation, the government's focus is more on addressing the crisis than on manipulating policies for short-term electoral gain. This can be seen in the aftermath of the 2008 financial crisis. This crisis was a game changer in many ways. Governments worldwide were faced with the monumental task of stabilizing economies and preventing further collapse. The response were massive stimulus packages, bank bailouts, and unprecedented interventions by the central banks. These measures were aimed at averting a full-blown depression, and they did manage to stabilize the global economy. However, the effects were far-reaching. Many countries faced soaring debt levels, sluggish growth, and a new area of caution when it came to economic policy. This caution was not just due to economic realities, but also a shift in public perception. The crisis left an impact on public trust in government's ability to manage the economy. People became more aware of the risk of excessive debt and irresponsible fiscal policies. This shift in public opinion had a notable effect on the political business cycle. Politicians now faced a more skeptical electorate, one that was less likely to be swayed by last-minute economic boosts before an election. The traditional playbook of spending big before an election to win votes seemed less effective in this new landscape. Voters were more concerned about long-term stability and prudent economic management. As an example, one can take a 2011 general election in Spain. At the heart of the crisis was Spain's struggling economy. The country was reeling from the effects of the global financial crisis of 2008, which hit Spain particularly hard. High unemployment rates, especially among the youth, added to the growing sense of discontent. Many Spaniards were disillusioned by the government's handling of the economic situations and were eager to change. The incumbent government, led by the Spanish Socialist Workers' Party, PSOE, was implementing austerity measures and structural reforms to stabilize the economy and manage the crisis. So, they had no time to boost the economy with a last-minute stimulus package because the economy was already in severe crisis and the trust in the government on an all-time low. In conclusion, one can say that the theory of the political business cycle did not apply for elections during or shortly after the great financial crisis of 2008. The economic situation was too bleak for for the incumbent politicians to focus on vote gains rather than actual economic measures. This can be seen in the 2011 general election in Spain.
Okay, thank you, Clemens. The second factor we're going to concentrate on is the Prime Minister himself, and by that I mean his character and personality. While it might be true that the theory of political business cycles didn't apply in 2011 because of the macroeconomic financial crisis, like you just said, the truth could be a bit more complicated than that. The Prime Minister is seen as the head of government and represents his party in public. And until now, we've made the big assumption that the Prime Minister will always try to get re-elected, and that that always translates into short-term expansionary policy, leading to increased public sector wages, social welfare bonuses, government investment, etc., etc. But in this section, I want to concentrate on deviations from this rule that can be attributed to the Prime Minister's persona. First, we should ask ourselves if the basic assumption is even true in this case. Do incumbent leaders always want to get re-elected? Well, the short answer for Rodríguez Zapatero, the Spanish Prime Minister of 2011, was no. Having been the Prime Minister and member of the Socialist Party, PSOE, since 2004, and also in national government since 1979, which means he had been in politics since he was just 19 years old, he announced in 2011 that he wouldn't be running for a second re-election. And he furthermore advanced the date of the next general election from March 2012 to November 2011, which is a significant amount of time. Well, from hearing this, it would be actually logical to assume that the Prime Minister was frankly just tired of his position in government after close to 30 years in politics, and that the 2008 financial crisis could have just been one more burden among many others he had to carry. You could say it was the final nail in the coffin. And it wasn't just his own stance that was negative towards his own future in politics. The public didn't seem to approve of him either. Zapatero started off his career as Prime Minister quite positively, actually, with an approval rating of about 60% in 2004. In his time in service, he implemented policies that were actually pretty controversial, although, in our opinion, they just reflected basic human rights. For example, he legalized same-sex marriage, criminalized domestic violence, and withdrew Spanish troops from the war in Iraq. But being controversial, public opinion about him wasn't as positive at the end of his service as it was in the beginning, with surveys showing that about 80% of the public had little to no confidence in him. We don't tend to see short-term expansionary spending when approval ratings of incumbent governments are overwhelmingly negative or positive, because in situations like these, the outcome of future elections is really kind of inevitable, which gets rid of the whole need to invest in measures with the goal of winning over potential voters. Summing up, this means that the combination of really low approval ratings from the public and the personal wish to not stay in government makes it almost self-explanatory why we didn't see a big-time employment of expansionary policies before the 2011 election in Spain. Simply put, when the public has already made up its mind and the Prime Minister has given up on himself, there's really no reason to spend money in a re-election campaign.
Okay, I see. Thank you guys so much. So let me maybe summarize quickly. Clemens explained to us how long-term severe internal economic crises are a major obstacle for political business cycles to work. On the one hand, the electorate's trust in the government is so weakened that they just don't fall for these tricks anymore because they are, as you said, disillusioned. On the other hand, politicians simply don't have the time to play games like these anymore because there's, let's say, bigger fish to fry. Alex, you focused on another explanation. According to you, the issue lies more with the PM. Not only did he stop believing in himself, but so did the electorate. And if the outcome of the election is kind of obvious already, then there's just maybe no point in using macroeconomic measures. So let's move on to 2023 now. Why did it work then, especially when this was like just after, trigger warning, COVID?
As the world emerged from the COVID-19 pandemic, the global economy faced unprecedented challenges. Governments worldwide implemented various measures to stabilize their economies, from massive stimulus packages to monetary policies adjustments. In the aftermath of a crisis like the COVID-19 pandemic, governments were under immense pressure to restore economic stability and public confidence. that led to a surge in the government spending and the policies aimed at boosting economic growth. So, why did the political business cycle come into play in the post-COVID crisis election? The answer lies in the delicate balance between economic recovery and political strategy. Governments, eager to show their effectiveness in handling the crisis, ramped up spending and support programs. In the wake of such a challenging period, voters were understandably concerned about their financial security and the state of the economy. Politicians, recognizing this, seized the opportunity to demonstrate their commitment to recovery through target policies and initiatives. As we move forward from a post-COVID era, it's essential to remain aware of these patterns. Understanding the political business cycle can help us decipher the motivations behind government actions and their impact on our lives. As a good example, make the 2023 general elections in Spain, where it was clear that the political business cycle was in full swing. First, there was an increase in government spending in the months leading up to the election. This isn't uncommon, as politicians often use increased spending to boost economic growth and create a sense of prosperity among voters. One example of this was the government's investment in infrastructure projects. These projects not only aimed to improve the country's infrastructure, but also created jobs, which in turn helped reduce unemployment rates. This was a strategic move, as lower unemployment tends to bode well for incumbent parties seeking re-election. Additionally, there were tax cuts and other measures designed to put more money in the pockets of the voters. Whether it was the reduction in income tax or VAT, these measures were aimed at stimulating consumer spending and bolstering the economy. One can also say that politicians learned from the mistakes of the crisis of 2008 and handled the economic situation better than before. Nevertheless, all these measures can be seen as short-term, so the incumbent prime minister can be re-elected. The long-term effects of such measures are often ignored and passed on to the next government. In conclusion, one can argue that the theory of political business cycle applied for post-COVID elections because the effects were not as grave as in the crisis of 2008. As well as the COVID pandemic being an external effect rather than the miscalculation of economists, politicians, and banks. Therefore, it was easier to manipulate policies for the short-term electoral gain than in 2008.
Okay, thank you, Clemens, again for illustrating the macroeconomic explanation. I'm not going to focus on the points we touched on earlier, that is the Prime Minister's confidence in himself, as well as his approval among the public. In 2023, Pedro Sanchez got appointed to his third term as Prime Minister, being elected for the first time in 2018. Like Zapatero, Sanchez is a member of the left-wing party PSOE and has been in politics since 2004, which means that at 52 years old, he has been in politics for a total of 20 years. While this is the same age as Zapatero was when he retired in 2011, it's important to remember that Zapatero also had 10 years worth of experience more than Sanchez. Nevertheless, it seems that Sanchez hasn't got enough of politics yet, as he's still going strong after 3 terms in office. That is, despite having a rough history with his own party, with him resigning from it in 2016 and coming back again in 2017. His approval ratings paint a similar picture, and while they're not as high as in 2020, where he had an approval of 45%, Sanchez had a rating of about 40% in 2023, which is also the year of his second re-election. This is admittedly not ideal for a prime minister, and his rating has been known to fluctuate down to 30%. But still, a public opinion like this is exactly the grey area where political business cycles are often employed by politicians in order to win over potential voters. This therefore strengthens the argument that the Prime Minister has a huge impact on whether politicians will try to influence the outcomes of an election through fiscal monetary policy. In 2023, Sanchez was personally ready and willing to serve a third term in office. Not only that, but his personality made him somewhat well-received among the general public, which led to his government being capable of persuading the last few voters he needed for a re-election. In summary, the absence of a political business cycle in 2011 and the presence of one in 2023 in Spain's pre-electoral campaign could be attributed to the personality and public perception of each single prime minister, as each head of state shapes the political landscape with his or her own actions, and in turn sets the prerequisite conditions for the existence of political business cycles.
So according to Clemens, in 2023 the crisis was less long-term, less severe, and more external than in 2011, plus politicians learned from their mistakes. Politicians saw an opportunity in the electorate's uncertainty about the future and pulled out all the stops to ensure the re-election, or as you called it, a delicate balance between economic recovery and political strategy. Alex, you stated that this time around, the PM was on the one hand more motivated to continue with his work, and on the other hand, or probably maybe therefore, had more support in the electorate. So as the outcome of the elections wasn't as obvious and predictable, they applied these tactics to ensure their re-election. Having heard all this, maybe our listeners, if they're still awake, can take a second to think about what explanation they would prefer. Do you guys think that A, economic crises are the bigger obstacle for political business cycles to work, keeping in mind their longevity, severity, and if they're internal or external? Or is it B, the prime minister, meaning his personality, motivation, and the support he gets? Okay, seconds over, let's see if you came to the same conclusion we did. Even though Alex's explanations were immaculate, flawless, incredibly interesting, and extremely accurate, I think we can all agree that economic crises serve as the better explanation for why political business cycles don't always apply. Don't get me wrong, this does not mean that we want to disregard every other explanation, including our PM theory, especially because monocausal explanations are definitely not what we look for as socioeconomists. But if this was a life or death situation and we had to choose one or the other, economic crises are simply the more logical explanation for this phenomenon. An economic crisis can control a prime minister, but a prime minister cannot control an economic crisis. Macroeconomic factors are, to put it as simple as possible, more influential than a single person can ever be. But please, as I said, keep in mind that just because one explanation is better than the other, it doesn't make the other explanation completely false and dispensable. So, this marks the end of our podcast. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for making it this far. And we truly hope you enjoyed our podcast. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Want more information? Visit the Institute for International Political Economy at www.wu.ac.at/IPE. You will find podcasts analyzing current events, TikTok videos defining key concepts, and courses explaining the world.